Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover.
This is episode 275.
It absolutely is, which is a monumental episode, which is why we have Jess Adam on with us.
A monumental guest.
We have a monument. A monument to guests. Yes, he's been with us through thick and thin, through wide and narrow, through wet and dry. He's been through a lot of crap with us.
Yeah.
And a lot of good stuff too.
Yeah, but it's the crap that you remember.
Well, I'm going to claim remembering a lot of the good stuff too.
Well, it's like, know, I said, the evil that men do live on with after them, according to Julius Caesar, but Jess, not so much.
Hey, it's all yin and yang, right?
The yin and yang. And we were talking before we went on air that you've been an integral part with us in our magazine in the Owl Creek Gazette. You're chuckling, but it's true. Think how long you've written for us off and on throughout our 7 years of being in.
Has it been 7 years already?
We start 8 years in October.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what Don and I both say, wow. And
change is coming there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll let you know about that later, but not today.
No, we have some secret changes in the works. But right now, Jess has some changes in the works, which is why we wanted to have him here. Not just because it's the 275th episode and monumental as it is and you are. We wanted you to share with our listening audience some of your changes.
Well, I was thinking there'd be a cake if it's 275. Oh. You ought to have something with mini candles.
Well, we should have.
Got you a bottle of wine.
Hey, that works. I'll write 275 on there myself. Yeah, there's changes coming to my life. I'm very excited about it. As some of the local Greenville folks that listen in might know, I have turned over my intent to resign from the Greenville City Council. Just, let's see, 11 months shy from ending my term. My term's actually going to be up in April 2019. But May 2018 is going to be the end of my tenure with the Greenville City Council. And it's been a real treat, but I'm resigning because I'm going to be relocating. And so if I don't live within the corporate limits of the city of Greenville, I can't be on the city council. And I'm moving to St. Louis and to start a new adventure there and see what life has in store for me. And I'll still be working for Greenville University for now and running the theater program there. And I'm very excited about what's coming up for me. I don't really know all what that is, but I'm open to it.
Well, and since I believe you announced your intention to run for Greenville City Council right here on Creekside with Don and Jan, it only makes sense that you announce your gracious exit.
That's true. You know,
has it been gracious?
It has been a very interesting road, and in the letter that I wrote to Mayor Gaffner, I told him that it's been an educational experience that I will not forget. I said some overtly nice things, but I think that's the best way to sum it up, because this hasn't necessarily been a real wonderful experience, because politics is ugly, even mm-hmm. at the local level. It's an ugly thing, and I went in with certain assumptions that I learned later on weren't necessarily the truth. I had my eyes open to a lot of the ways. Well, I think we all have kind of an expectation of how government works, really, because we learn things in our civics classes. Do they still teach civics?
They don't, and that's one of the biggest problems that we combat these days.
You know, let's take a slight detour. So one of the things that our local high school does is they force children to come to, I can't remember what age it is. I don't know if it's a senior class or what, that they have to come to a city council meeting or some type of local governance meeting
mm-hmm.
and go back and prove that they went. So they're supposed to see democracy in action. Mm-hmm. And I felt so bad the other night. We had a special meeting that turned out that nobody could really come to except for three of the five people on the on their board. And our meeting lasted less than 10 minutes. And I'm currently also mayor pro tem. So I had to lead the meeting because Mayor Gaffner was out of town. And we had like 12 children in the 12 high school kids in the audience. And they did not see or learn anything.
Oh, wow. Well, in essence, they did. They learned what happens that sometimes you don't have the full body there.
That's true.
It probably wasn't near as exciting, but it is a lesson, especially if it's couched in with the other facts.
That's true. And well, with me being mayor pro tem currently and leading that meeting, I felt extra bad for them because while I take my job as a councilman very seriously, I take my job as mayor pro tem very non-seriously. And I giggled through the whole thing and flubbed, made mistakes, and thank goodness that city clerk Sue Ann Nelson was next to me, and she leaned over and go, we need to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, yeah, let's rise and say the Pledge of Allegiance. We need to take roll call. Oh, yeah, let's see who's here. I can look around the room and tell, but let's all say it out loud. And it was so funny because there were about two of the 12 kids in the audience who were just looking at me with the biggest grins on their faces and thought, oh, this is a show. And but so I'm hoping that they someday walk back into the municipal building and watch.
Well, they'll do that at least whenever they pay their water bill.
That's true. Someday they'll get upset about something enough. They'll probably have to go, or they'll want to build a fence somewhere where they're told they're not allowed. And then maybe they'll get that
and
education.
And they paid taxes on that property for years, and you can't put up a damn fence.
I'll tell you what. Property tax in Illinois is something that has to get addressed. The property taxes in this county are insane. Mm-hmm. As I've been looking at, I love real estate. That's one thing I think I might want to do at some point is sell real estate.
Oh, you'd be good at that, Jess.
I like experiences. I'm not necessarily looking at something to try to amass a large amount of wealth so that I can retire on my private yacht in the Caribbean or something. But
if you find that's the case, call us.
I will.
Okay.
We'll all go together.
Okay. We'll retire with you.
We'll take Gertrude, the motorhome, down to the port and hop on my yacht.
That's a sight.
100 gallons of gasoline and 400 gallons of water later.
Yeah. Eco-friendly. But so I've been looking at property, not that I'm buying a house in St. Louis I'm going to rent, but I like houses. So the neighborhood where I'm moving, I started looking around to see what real estate was going for there. Mm-hmm. It's expensive. It's what I thought. Their property tax is so, it is a third of the property tax in the city of Greenville.
Oh my goodness, Jess.
A third. So the house that I'm moving into, I think, sold last for around $225,000, something like that. I'm mm-hmm. living in an apartment there that's got two floors of a three-level house. And the property tax was like $1,500 a year. And imagine a $225,000 house in the city of Greenville, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Your property tax would be over $5,000 a year. More, probably. Isn't that insane?
It is insane. And it's such a rude awakening when you think you own your property. We always talk about property rights and owning your property. Try not paying your property tax. You'll find how quickly you don't own your property.
Very true.
So that all those things, you talk about civics class, that's it. That would be an interesting topic for civics class,
Good
too.
Thing you're not sweating nitroglycerin there, buddy. You'd be popping stuff on the floor.
I would.
We've got the sunshine today coming through the window, and we need to maybe put on a shade.
That's all right. We can keep going.
Okay.
All right. If I pass out, just keep talking. I'll get back up.
I'm fine. Jess had him in a little puddle on the floor here in the studio.
Puddle O' Jess.
He's melting.
The property tax is $1,500 on a $250,000 piece of property.
Yeah, roughly. Yeah.
I guess you heard me gasp.
Well, something else too. While you hold that thought, Don. What people, and a lot of people realize this, but what we're finding as we talk to people, they don't realize how property tax affects a business owner or a person who owns the houses that they are, renting. Mm-hmm. When the tax increase, obviously that has to be passed on to someone else. And so the renter, whether it's in business or, living in that residential area, has to then generally imagine that their rent is going to rise. Mm-hmm. And then that affects how much money they have to spend in the community for other things. So it's this balance that is hard to understand if you're not a property owner, maybe. You've never seen that go up and how it affects what else you can afford to purchase or not.
Yeah.
So it really does affect more than just the individual that sees the raise go up on their property taxes. It's a scary trickle-down situation.
Well, you know, and it's even it affects us as well, because we own a little bit of property in Centralia, and we have a renter, mm-hmm. and in the 9 years she's rented the house, we have not raised her rent.
Mm-hmm.
And the property taxes continue to go up, and the insurance continues to go up. And right now it's at a point where we're at a break even. Why should I subsidize her life? You know, that is not our job. That's mm-hmm. not the purpose of this. And how much am I entitled to make? You know, how much are we entitled to
make? Whatever the market will bear.
And so the consequence of doing this is that as all of these things increase, we wind up being the ones who are vilified or demonized, because we're entitled to make a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, you have to make money or you go out of business in whatever it is. And that's what we were talking about on the podcast the other day, Jess, and you know that from being a business owner yourself. If you don't make enough to stay in business and you have to close your doors, the services that people loved of yours are no longer available to them. Mm-hmm. So if it's never greedy or wrong to want to make a profit. It's a must, or the services and goods you offer go by the wayside.
Absolutely.
And then the free market is shortchanged because they have one less store or facility or product that they can take advantage of.
Yeah. Now, one last thing to comment about the property in Centralia is that, you know, its value has gone down, and yet the property taxes go up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there we are, doubly screwed. So what do we do? How do you combat that kind of scenario?
You rethink
scenario?
Property ownership is what you do.
Yeah. And it's not what it used to be. It's not what it's cracked up to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if people think that, you know, whoever bought this block, for example, on South 2nd Street, if
where we're sitting right
where
now.
Where we're sitting right now, if that property, you know, goes up in taxes, it's going to get passed on.
Sure.
Period.
Mm-hmm. It has to.
That's the only way it's going to work.
Yeah.
So.
And speaking of the place where we're sitting and how things have changed for you, we've mentioned this many times over the years, but you started Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House.
I did. And see, my brother Jeremy and I got our first storefront, because now Adam Bros has two that are touching.
Next door to each other.
Yeah, next door.
Right?
But we got our original storefront in November of 2009 and started construction. We opened in, I think it was April of 2010. We built everything ourselves, and a lot of that's still standing, and some of it we shouldn't have built ourselves, but
it's still standing.
It's still standing, but we made do. We had a goal. We had some ambition, and we worked hard to make that a reality. And somehow, it survived in spite of our shortfalls and our lack of knowledge here and there.
Well, and I think some of that has to do with your personality, and we've talked about this before. Mm. When a business owner loves what they do, it becomes apparent to their customers.
Yeah.
And I think people see that in our publication. We see people come up to us. In fact, the other day we were at the Sunshine House delivering magazines. Of course, our car comes up with the Owl Creek, you know, Gazette logo on it. But somebody came into the Sunshine House right after us, and they said, "We've been gone for several months, and we just saw your car pulled up, and we want the latest edition, and we want back issues, too." So that makes it really, really fun.
Yeah, what a nice compliment.
Yeah. And so that makes it, I can't say it makes it all worthwhile, but it makes it real. It gives you that shot in the arm that you need to go ahead and move forward.
And at that time, boy, did we need it.
We did. We were exhausted, and lots of things swirling around in our head, what we want to do with our own publication, what direction we want to take that. So when you sit here with us in Adam Brothers at our studio and you look around, like you said, you know, so much is...
Sorry, that's my wife. She's just driving by to say hi. Hi, honey.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
No, that's not her.
She has a bigger bike.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
I got confused.
We're just going to let that stay right in there.
So you look around and see things that are familiar, and make you remember those beginning roots. Oh, how does that make you feel when you know that you're going to be moving?
I'm really okay with it.
That's a good thing.
The room that we're in right now, it was the second storefront that we got, and I did the work on it by myself and with my with the help of my friend Doug and my friend Wyatt and some other folks that just kind of popped in and said, oh, I can come help you paint.
Mm-hmm.
And so I imagine once I leave the Greenville area, it'll be a little bit more bittersweet in my heart. But looking at it now, I'm sitting going, yeah, I probably should have fixed that before I left. And I still have some, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda things, mm-hmm. but.
Well, I'm looking at some of the trim work carpet, and I'm going, is that Wyatt or is that Doug? Because I know the both of them.
Well, it could be me.
Let's not forget that.
No. Yeah, well.
But, yeah, I had so much fun at Adam Bros. And the one thing I did not like about owning a business was the state's interference in my business. I hated with a passion having to file monthly sales tax reports and send hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars to the state for something they did not have anything to do with.
Well, and restrictions, too, that are placed on businesses. If you're going to cook, if you're going to prepare, you know, those things enter into it, too.
And yeah, a lot of those laws are passed at the state and then pushed down to the county or to the city to enforce those things. And so that wasn't fun at all. Mm-hmm. And as far as, like, health and safety stuff, if you own a restaurant that makes everybody sick, it's probably not going to survive. That mm-hmm. restaurant's not going to survive. So having somebody show up on a quest to find one thing wrong, at
least. With a little checkbook that they're getting ready to check off something.
And that's, you know, nobody wants anybody to get sick and die. You know, I don't think anybody would purposely try to serve food to somebody that would make them sick. Accidents happen, but I'm fortunate the entire time that I was here, as far as I know, nobody ever got sick off anything we ate.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you got 7 days. If you make a batch of salsa or something, you've got 7 days to use it. That's the state's rule, even though it's sitting there in a brine and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, you know that nothing's going to grow in the salt water, and there it is.
Absolutely not. At the same time, though, you can tell when you open up that salsa on maybe day 8 or 9, and you go, oh, I ain't going to serve that nobody.
No matter what the law is.
Yeah, because that's a risk I don't want to take.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
And so I don't really need somebody from the county health department to come in and make sure that I'm doing that, because why would I want to do? I mean, maybe some people are that stupid.
But those people wouldn't be in business very long.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so
That's the difference between somebody who works for someone who owns a business and somebody who owns a business.
That's true.
And you can see that in the quality when you go from one spot to another in any town, you can see that the mom and pops are there doing the right thing when they need to do it. Yeah. That's just the bottom line.
There's nothing like the owner being behind the counter.
You betcha.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality stands out. It absolutely stands out. It's like a sore thumb. And, of course, they would have a rubber glove over that sore thumb.
They would. Well, thinking about some of the things on the menu, Jess, where mm-hmm. did they come from?
Well, we had initially there was a sandwich that I made the menu. My brother Jeremy didn't. He had a couple of things that he wanted included, but for the most part, he let me do whatever I wanted. And so I named a sandwich after him that's not on the menu anymore, but it was called the Wear Me Jeremy, because that's his name. And then there was the Messy Jesse.
Mm.
And Messy Jesse lives on, which is funny. And then we had, as I redeveloped the menu, and it's like seventh or eighth incarnation, I named some sandwiches after my dad and his two brothers because of Adam Brothers. That's my, you know, dad's mm-hmm. last name is Adam. And so there's the Jerry. Well, at least there was. There was the Jerry, the George, and the Bill. That was, I always thought that was just kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle's got a kick out of that. I don't know. I don't think my dad ever said anything to me about that, but I should tell him that he is a popular sandwich in Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
And then for, I got to do a lot of baking, which I hadn't really done before. I mean, everybody's a kid probably, you know, makes cookies with mom or dad or something in the kitchen or grandma. When I
love your mom's cinnamon rolls, by the way.
I know. She gave me I found out, here's some interesting information. I still won't share the recipe with anybody because my mother made me swear
to it. Bless your heart. Do not do.
But she told me that my grandma, it was my grandma, my mom's mom, it was her recipe, and she had found it in a magazine, and this was like in the 30s or 40s, and she had clipped it out. And my mom, not too long ago, gave me a frame with that clipping in it.
Oh, neat.
Oh, bless her little
and
heart.
So I think that's super cool. And then my mom also gave me my grandma's, my grandma wrote out her cookbook in a notebook for my mom when she got married. And my mom gave me that notebook not too long ago either. So now I've got all of mom's recipes that came from grandma. And so I got to be in the kitchen and bake, and that was fun. Some nights I just wanted to sleep because I always want everything to be fresh and good. So I'd bake everything over, you know, in the wee hours of the morning. And
like bakers ought do.
Yeah. You want when in the morning, you want a little bit of steam, maybe condensation inside that display case. So, you know, everything's still warm and fresh and yummy. Oh, one fun night I was, this is back when I smoked cigarettes.
Demon hey, weed.
Yeah. I don't do that anymore. Hallelujah. But I was standing out on the back porch, had been baking all night long, and I was out on the back porch having a cigarette, and one of the local police officers pulled up like a bat out of hell, tore in through the parking lot, and stopped right by the back door and said, "What do you think you're doing?" And I looked at him and got a weird look on my face, and I just said, "Bacon, bacon, bacon." And I didn't realize at the time that it sounded like I was saying bacon. Mm-hmm. And so he turned, he cocked his head weird and looked at me and thought maybe I was insulting him. And then it hit me like that was not the right thing to say, Jess Adam. But I still love that that happened. And so he just said, "Well, all right." And I said, "Well, you have a good night. I'm going to go back to work." And I went back inside and closed the door. And I thought, what are you doing to terrorizing anybody? Tearing through this parking lot was more dangerous than what I'm doing, you snot. So if that guy listens, come to my house. I want to talk to you one more time before I leave town.
Too bad he didn't come in the next morning and enjoy your baking, baking, baking.
Yeah. Bacon, bacon, bacon.
Yeah, I understand.
But for heaven's sakes, what a weird thing that was. And being here, and some folks that are friends of mine on Facebook, when I've got it activated, will remember seeing videos of me playing piano and singing. And I always, I always did that in the store. And people thought I was just doing that because I was just so nice and chipper and happy. Like, no, I'm trying to
drum up business.
Yeah, subliminal advertaing. Mm-hmm, how in the world is this guy so happy at 4 or 5 in the morning? Well, it's because I haven't been to bed yet, and I've been drinking coffee all night long. Everybody's like, "What are you on? I want some of that." And I was like,
"Come on down."
Yeah, you can get it. And I just
well, there's the piano sitting right over there, and we can poke a mic in front of it. You gotta have one more to hammer out.
We maybe someday. But
that reminds me when we had one of our autumn dinners here, and we had asked you to sing some songs from
like
the
Revolutionary War songs.
I think you probably agreed before you realized I would find them.
Oh, yeah. You like went through the Library of Congress archives and found some. And I'm not that. What I say about my piano playing is I can convince people that I can play piano. But if it's a real piano player listening to me play, they know I'm not really playing piano. I can I chord, basically, and I know enough now about how things sound, then I can make it. I can put in some little tricks and
alliterations
and stuff
on your finger, yeah,
and make it sound like something more than it actually is. When in reality, I'm just sitting there playing a G chord in my right hand and playing the G, you know, going from 1 to 5 or something in my left hand. And it, I always thought it sounded hunk a chunk is what I'd call it. And it wasn't nothing too great, but then. And I learned that because I was a music pastor at a church, and they had 3 piano players at this church. One old lady was just too old to play anymore. She couldn't see. She got too nervous that she was going to screw up. And so I casually just slid her over to the organ and unplugged it and let her play.
Oh, and I don't know what's wrong with the organ. Oh, well, I'm playing piano.
another one of the ladies had gotten sick, and so she wasn't there as often. And the third old lady was such a mean, mean old woman that I didn't want to have to work with her. And I thought, well, the only way out of this is if I find another piano player, and I guess that's going to be me. And so I found a chord chart and my piano bench at home and just started teaching myself the fingerings and how to play these different chords and what a sus chord was, and then starting to think more about the scales and stuff like that, and fiddled
around. So you never took piano lessons?
I took piano lessons for a month when I was like 7, and the woman I told my mom smelled like French fries, and I didn't want to go back.
I'm not sure cows eat grass.
Why? But I mean, I took music and stuff in high school. I played tenor saxophone all from 5th grade through high school and in band, a jazz band.
So you know a treble clef from a bass clef. And
yeah, I can read treble clef real easy. I still, when I, with bass clef, I have to sit and go, okay. That's a G.
There it is.
Okay. Oh, E. Someday I'll get real good at it, but.
I took piano lessons and was. I just did not practice. I would practice like 15 minutes before I went to the lesson.
You were practicing for the teacher.
I was, so she wouldn't kill me. But the problem was, my lesson was directly following a brilliant piano player. So I feel so sorry for the teacher.
Yeah.
I don't know what stopped her from pushing me off the bench or taking when
profit.
Mom, profit.
That's the incentive.
That's yes. She got paid the same for me as the brilliant student, but she could sure enjoy that class time.
Well, you know, hey, we're almost out of time, and I'm sorry, you're sitting there sweating like a
Turk. I just grabbed my chapstick out of my pocket, and it's liquefied and ran all down my face.
So you have a nice, soft, and supple beard at this point. No beard oil needed. But Jess, I know you're not bailing on. You're not bailing on us. You're increasing your footprint. There you go.
That's a nice way to think of it.
Yeah.
And I'll still be around with my job at the college. I promise it all. I'm going to try to work as remotely as possible because who wants to make that commute? Mm-hmm. Well, but I'll be in town.
At least you're going against the – well, no, you're going into the sun in the morning. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's why we've got you sitting here right now to practice for going into the sun.
That's it.
Yes.
Buy sunglasses. Mm-hmm. That's all you can do.
I've got a couple pair.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Amazon, here you come. And the I'm just wanting you to know that I am so, so, so happy to have known you. And if you don't come back here, I'll kick your ass.
We'll find you in St. Louis. We'll stick a mic up. Greekside with Don and Jan is here, Jess. How about a few words? And I'm thinking, since this is a new chapter of your life, it's about time for another series.
Well, I might
in
have
the
time,
Owl Creek Gazette.
I might have time to do that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I still got chapstick all over my face.
You're all right. It's blending in.
It's my new thing. It's my beauty regimen.
Melt your chapstick and run it down your face and call it a day.
Sit in the sun, you'll get a tan and everything this way, Jess.
I've really loved my time in Greenville. It's been an experience for me. Like I said earlier, I'm an experience chaser. I like to try to sample all of what life has to offer that intrigues me. And Greenville has been home now for almost 10 years, and it's been a real, real treat. And met a lot of fun people along the way, learned a lot of fun things, and learned a lot of tough lessons in the process, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
And that makes us all better for having known you and brought you into what we do here. So thanks for joining us on all the episodes and in the magazine and hearing us complain about all kinds of stuff and being guinea pigs, tasting all the food you made.
No kidding. We miss that part of being your guinea pigs. I've lost 20 pounds.
Since you moved,
I don't know where the hell's going, but I've lost 20 pounds.
So anyway, we'll find you in St. Louis. Look us up when you come back this direction, and best luck with everything, Jess. We're really excited for you. Even though we'll miss you, we know that new chapter is a needed adventure for you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, folks, this is the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette, Creekside with Don and Jan. And thanks for joining, and thanks for listening, and thanks for putting up with us. And like I said, I alluded earlier that we've got some changes coming on the horizon, and you'll enjoy them.
Fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. And we know you'll support them. So with that,
check out owlcreekgazette.com anytime, too.
Anything else we need to say?
I think that's it.
Pretty much got it all done.
Okay, Creekside listeners, everyone together. Thanks, Jess. Bye, Jess.
Night, night.
Y'all take care now.